Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio, and it's a pleasure to have you here today. Also a pleasure to welcome development and integration coach Joe Carapella to the show. He's a top-notch development and integration coach with proven results, currently working in a large global organization. He says his focus is on building a sustainable and scalable operation where emerging leaders can seek and have access to dedicated coaching resources within the organization. There is reliable data backing up the fact that working with a coach is one of the most highly effective ways to help people optimize performance and growth, especially in the face of unprecedented change. As a coach, he leverages his natural curiosity along with a vision and strategically aligned approach to help people accelerate and heighten their engagement, satisfaction, and productivity levels with a clear focus on goals. Internal coaching refers to a relationship where coaches and coachees work with the same organization. An important component of building an internal coaching culture really is to infuse coaching skills in all people, leaders, and influences within an organization. And when you couple this with strong mentorship and advocacy programs, you start to promote a clear commitment to helping employees succeed. You will magnify an employee's contributions and develop when you layer this with a program that enables people to work with coaches within their organization. Shared experiences as well, who have skin in the game, very important. An internal coach understands the company's culture, mission, and goals. And an effective internal program is one where the coaches are focused on coaching as a primary role and responsibility and are specifically trained to do this work with people who do not report to them. Currently, Joe is engaged in mergers and acquisitions, assisting two company cultures and helping them to grapple with how to assimilate in their new roles and helping leaders find their voice. It's my pleasure to welcome him live and direct from New York, development and integration coach, Joe Carapella. Joe, thanks for joining us here on the show today. It's a pleasure to have you on Close Up Radio.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks. Pleasure to be here.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Tell us a little bit about some of the work as an internal coach. But first, what even when you take a look at your background and maybe some of those sources of inspiration as you're deciding what careers really speak to you and you want to dive into, a little bit about your background prior to becoming a coach and what really inspired you to go into the coaching world, Joe?
Yeah, thank you for the question, Jim. For me, my journey growing through in career development in my professional life is there's when I reflect back on it and I'm looking for a new opportunity, I started to reflect on what are the components of the different roles and responsibilities I've had that really motivated me, made me feel that I was contributing, excited me in terms of learning. And I found that in my different roles, and that goes from frontline contributor, from a technical capacity, literally working in the lab and getting my hands dirty, if you will, to leadership roles and management roles, into training and facilitating. There's a common thread there that when I reflect on them and I take it out to see that engaging with people, motivating people, helping people be successful was something that was common and something where I found myself gravitating to with respect to my own personal motivation and also my impact. So it was important that years later, people who I had worked with or partnered with in the past had reached out to me, either those that I've kept a relationship with or maybe we just hooked up, on LinkedIn or something like that. And they would remember what their experiences working with me. And that was really important feedback for me to hear. And then I started to look through, okay, there's something common here about this and what can I learn more? And I started to, and I was introduced to the world of coaching, and I started to explore that a little bit more, study a little bit about on it myself, pursuing a certification in it as well, really learning a lot of the foundational principles and different methodologies and schools of thought around coaching. And it resonated strongly with me, and it just clicked a lot of the boxes in terms, again, of my personal satisfaction, as well as where I'm making a difference with other people. I think that's really where my journey brought me to in terms of wanting to explore a little bit more about coaching and how I could contribute more in that arena.
That is terrific. Now, the work of an internal coach, tell us about some of that work. How do you really define an internal coach?
Yeah, thanks for the question. I think a lot of people will ask similar questions there, because I think from an external point of view, in the coaching profession, we try to understand where people's specialties are, where their focus is, if you will. And internal coaching really refers to, as you mentioned at the top of the call, right? It's somebody who the coach and the coachee both work within the same organization. And that's a broad definition of what an internal coach means. It means that relationship is more than just the coach and coachee. They also have a shared relationship with the same employer. And that's important in a lot of ways, with respect to understanding the culture of the company that the person works in, helping them develop as a leader or as a person, as an individual themselves. You have that common language. You have that common feel of how things work, the leadership styles, the communication tone of the company, and all of that helps the coach and the coachee have a connection that helps the coachee navigate through the change that they're trying to make and or the career trajectory they're trying to pursue. So there's something important about that common denominator, if you will, in internal coaching. And so from a coaching profession perspective, it's an important thing to distinguish, okay, where is your focus? And when you say your focus is on internal coaching, it is about that. It is about having that relationship with the coachee, sharing that relationship with an employer, and then seeing how you align with the goals. And I think this becomes really important when we start talking about contracting between a coach and a coachee. What is the focus and what are the primary goals of the relationship? And working within the same organization, obviously there's a commitment to the organization itself, who are providing the resources of the coach, right, providing access to the coaching resource. So there's a commitment from both the coach and the coachee to dedicate the time and put in the work, if you will, to making the relationship work. To answer the question, Jim, or someone
yeah, it
one
did,
more?
And at least it leads me to think, as far as you've already pretty much answered the next thought that I had, as far as, but maybe you can elaborate on it, some of the benefits of internal coaching as opposed to ex-coaching.
Yeah, so there's it's interesting because there are a lot of organizations out there like Microsoft, Google, Salesforce, some of the bigger names who have an investment in both external coaches and internal coaches. I think usually the organization will invest in external coaches for their executive, their C-suite, for senior leadership and the like there too. And there is definitely some benefits in having someone outside the organization coach at that level, because of the types of conversations that might be had and some of the challenges that the individual might be facing. Having an external coach who has that, who doesn't have the same commitment to the company, is important. And these companies, like I said, Microsoft, Google, the Salesforce, Medtronics of the world, Pricewaterhouse, they'll also invest in an internal coaching program. And what they find is, the feedback from organizations like this is they stress that the biggest risks and some of the reasons why external coaching doesn't always work for them is that they want to make sure that the coach is not putting their own personal needs ahead of the company needs, right? And so that's something that is an interesting feedback that was shared by these organizations, to say that, hey, when we have an internal coach, there's skin in the game, Jim. They have common goals, right? They're both working for the same organization. The time commitment that could be had and time allocation to coaching and the individuals is governed by being part of the same company. And again, I think mostly it's because you're aligned to the same goals, you share the same vision, and you have the same commitment to the same employer to work towards those goals. And that's important for a lot of companies there, that's maintained and that's protected.
That's important. In your expert opinion, Joe, how is the workforce changing in a more positive way, considering how it's changed dramatically since the pandemic. I mean, we're hearing about a lot of what people perceive as negative, but there are positives in the way that all of this has happened as well, right?
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I'm sure you have some examples too, right, Jim, in terms of what you've experienced and all of us have in our personal lives as well as our professional lives. I think
a little more flexibility has happened, right?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think I see that on both ends, right? For the employer, right, there's the other benefit of being able to maintain, you know, to keep access to the talent, to be able to provide the talent in their organization with the resources to connect. Obviously, from an employee experience, it also helps, again, yeah, find that balance. And I think what I'm hearing a lot from the coaches is that the expectations of talent is changing, right, in terms of the employer. And I don't know that prior to the pandemic, the conversations around where will I work and what kind of flexibility would I have was as prominent. And I'm not saying it didn't exist because, you know, even on a generational perspective, that certainly was an expectation to have that mobility. But now we're seeing that, again, that becomes a big part of someone's decision to work for a company. What kind of flexibility do I have? I think it also helps people understand and focus on the bigger picture, right? So now that I'm owning my own time, maybe I don't have the commute at the same, you know, every day that I used to have. I can manage my priorities and roles and responsibilities and my goals a lot differently. And I think that's really important that it gives that flexibility, as you pointed out. It also helps because we all work a little bit differently. And we know this about ourselves as individuals. And when you're working remotely, which a lot of people are doing as a result of the pandemic, then you have a lot of that, again, using the word flexibility, but you own that time and your time a lot more. And I think that's really important. From a leadership perspective, it helps challenge us to say, how are we connecting with our teams? What is important there? And how does that look differently when I have them all in the same physical space as me versus in a virtual space? But it's really heightened the commitment and the intention to making sure there is active, regular engagement with the teams. And I think that's really powerful. And we hope we don't lose that, you know, if things shift the other way and we find ourselves co-locating again in the same office space. But that's really important that leaders and a lot of people, leaders especially, have found that making that intention, and if it wasn't part of their practice prior to the pandemic, making that intention now is really paramount to make sure you stay connected and you have that active dialogue regularly. Let me ask you, Jim, what have you observed in addition to flexibility?
The ability to do the work that I do really remotely from anywhere, and I could be on one assignment for something else, and then I can go into a back room and do what I have to do online as long as I have the Wi-Fi signal and the technology, and can do things out of the house as much as in a studio or on location, and you can sort of work around other things. It increases the ability also to have more family time, which I know a lot of people have craved, and a little more work-life balance. The only thing, and I'm sure you've heard this too from some perhaps, is if that's the route that you're going and you're a team-oriented person, you're a communal person, you feed off the energy of others, you actually like being in an environment where there's action and noise and movement and people that you see right there around you, the group, the team, the colleagues, the comrades, and now, because maybe the company has decided everybody will be working remotely from their home or whatever, I would imagine that could be a little difficult too. And as much as you probably hear a lot from people that are saying, oh, that's great, I get to work out of the house now and I don't have to hear the water cooler chatter and all of that other, there are probably those who actually really like that team spirit, that communal, we're all here, you know, in the studio or in the office together, and there's something about that energy that drives somebody who might not necessarily be a quote-unquote self-starter. They feed off the energy of others, and they really like that energy of the group versus the singular. I bet you're hearing some of that, too, on the other side of things.
For sure, yes. Yeah, I think I hear it a lot from, when I think of the current generation that's entering the workforce, either from, you know, from university or from high school, from some form of formal education. A lot of them are working for organizations, maybe in their first year or their first two, or maybe even now first 3 years, having never physically ever met anyone that they work with in person. Maybe they appeared at the office to pick up a laptop, you know, their first day of hire, but everything was all done remotely. And for that generation, you know, they've invested a lot of time, you know, in studies and university and in classrooms and a very rigid structure. There's almost a feel of like a rite of passage to hop on a train and, you know, head into the city to wherever their commute is, right, or jump into a car. And to your point, a lot of people need that energy and that dynamic to motivate them and to stir ideas and stuff. So I am hearing it from that generation, right, that they were like, well, you know, it would be nice to actually meet new people and stuff like that. I love, you know, if they're still at home with the family, right, they might get along great with their family. But where is that stimulation in terms of talking with peers and all that investment that they've made in education or what you know, a certification or whatever programs they have? How do they start leveraging that and putting it into practice? So they do crave that. They miss that, or they miss having the experience of that. And especially if they're starting out and they're single, so they don't have as many obligations at home. Maybe they haven't started a family yet. Maybe they are still single in terms of they don't have a you know, a partner that they're committed to. Then, yeah, that stimulation, that social interaction is really, really important. And then others, you know, when they start to settle down and they start to have a family, then that home time, as you pointed out, and that family time becomes more precious. And I think it's what I'm also seeing, Jim, is geographically. Like, I think here in the States, for some people, right, the amount of physical space you have in your home is conducive to could be conducive to working from home and living from home. But there are people in smaller spaces, and I think especially overseas in a lot of different countries as well, where they're not spaces and apartments aren't necessarily as big when you compare them to, say, in the States, if you will, where it actually becomes a detriment, right? Because they are in a smaller confined space and they can't find the time to isolate themselves and to concentrate. And there's that dimension as well, where they like the flexibility of working remote. Just logistically, they're having some challenges as well. And I think that's where we start looking to shared spaces that are out there, you know, to help with that balance. And some companies are looking into that, right? So if they need to, they want to have that collaborative space to have that exchange of ideas, but they don't necessarily want to make the commitment to a lease, if you will. They'll start looking for some of these shared spaces to co-locate. And that's great for within the company. And also some of the feedback is that just sharing ideas with people who are not in the same companies, maybe have similar roles and responsibilities, getting that exchange going, right? Hearing, how do you guys do things? You know, how does your company work with things? And having that level of interaction, I think, becomes really productive as well. So what's starting to surface are maybe some unforeseen benefits of finding that hybrid solution that works best. And I think that's really where a lot of companies are landing, is to say, okay, we had a swing in one way because of the pandemic. And then now we don't necessarily want to swing back to where we were before. How do we find that balance, if you will, in the middle and have that hybrid approach? And some companies are looking at based on roles and responsibilities. Some companies are looking at that based on the employee needs. So there's a little bit more flexibility to make that determination. So I think a lot of companies are dipping into this cautiously, right? And it really depends on their culture and what they're trying to achieve.
That's very important, absolutely. That's a great answer to that question. Why is it even more critical to have, quote, good leaders? What makes an excellent leader from your perspective? One of the things I've always observed, and maybe there's a cultural shift or a mindset shift, is that people, I think, are realizing that expressing empathy and understanding is crucial. And I think people want that expressed more than ever. They don't want just the leader to be up in the ivory tower, the quote-unquote boss. They're not even using the word boss that much anymore. Looking down at the staff from the ivory tower, and there's never any interaction, and nobody knows who that is, that mysterious person, and they fear that person. Much more hands-on, you know, front lines, roll up the sleeves, listening to what the concerns are, what suggestions are that maybe staff have about growth, about production, whatever it may be. Showing more empathy, more kindness, emotional intelligence, understanding, all of that, I would imagine are things that you're hearing that are one component of being and critical to being an excellent leader, right?
I would agree. I think there is a lot of it's more attention that's being paid. I mean, there's a lot of work that's being done in those areas that have been for many, many years, and it is finding its way into quote-unquote the mainstream, right, in terms of where companies haven't spent a lot of time on that before. And it really has to do with what the pandemic introduced to many of us as a human race, right, is understanding and spending time with ourselves and really starting to respect the whole person. And this is a lot of what coaching and a lot of coaching programs really teach us, is that when you're coaching the person, you coach the whole person. And, you know, so it's funny, I know I've worked with people who before, you know, who have said, hey, when I come to work, I'm a different person. I leave everything that's going on at home, and in my personal life is my personal life. As soon as I walk through the door, I'm in work mode, and I'm doing this, that, and focused on that. And then when I leave, I work with the other things. And that always fascinated me, because I was just like, wow, how do you do that? You know, how do you just become a different person when you walk through a door? How do you not bring in what's happening at home into work and vice versa? It's, you know, it's strong. I think it takes practice. Maybe it's easier for some people than others. But I think it's important to realize that we are the same person, right? We may shift our focus. We may change the way we speak. We may change the way we dress when we go to work. We may change, some things we may adapt, right, to the environment to be obviously appropriate and professional. But I struggle when someone says, you know, that they're a different person. They can turn off who they are. And so, but that's been an expectation, I think, over the years for some of the bigger corporations especially, is that, hey, when you're here, you're here. You know, for 40 hours a week, 45 hours a week, whatever the mandate is, you need to be here and focused. And the intention there was that, you know, you focus on what you're doing, right? I don't know if it was, you know, become a different person. But somehow, I think in some cultures, like in the United States, that happened. And now we have to start to think through the whole person. And I think that's what the pandemic has said is, think about the whole person, and this is where the whole concept of empathy comes in and says, talk about it. Talk about what's going on. Listen to the whole person and what their needs are. Put their needs first, and then explain what the expectations are. And that's a lot of what coaching is about. It's not about what the coach needs to know and understand about the person. It's about putting the person first to help them understand why maybe they feel a certain way or why they make certain choices and certain decisions. And I think that's really what's important there, and people appreciate that, right? Jim, wouldn't you appreciate that if someone respected to give you time, right? You know, and to talk a little bit about how things are going.
And they actually listen, right? They're actually not just in the room, or they're not scrolling through the their Facebook posts with their thumb on their cell phone as you're talking to them. They're actually listening, and they show genuine interest. You know, it's incredible work that you're doing. Coaching is really critical in today's workforce, isn't it? Because of all these swift changes. I mean, the changes that are happening just in our everyday lives that we're witnessing, it's a very different time we're living in all aspects of our lives, whether it's geopolitical, inflation, the pandemic. I mean, we've had a lot of things thrown at every single one of us, no matter what we do for a living or whatever it may be, that we have to handle. Having a coach in today's workforce, somebody that is expert as you, is really important, isn't it?
It is, and it can be in a lot of different ways. And you're right, you know, this is really unprecedented in the amount of change and the amount of expectations we have to pivot in life, right? And we're getting a little bit more conditioned to it, which is why I think it's going to be really interesting to see with, you know, the generations who were actually literally born into the pandemic, how they look, you know, what their resiliency looks like as adults. But, you know, speaking of today, you know, that's where a coach really adds the most value, is helping you understand and focus on what are your goals, what are your priorities. Because when you're challenged with so many competing priorities and so many decisions that have to be made in terms of action, right, focus on what is your goal, what is the intention of what needs to happen. And when you spend some time in that space, you can help surface, okay, maybe that helps me understand what I need to really focus on first today, or how I need to manage and navigate this change. So put it in the context of the future and where you want to be versus trying to only focus on what's happening right now, because that can become really overwhelming for a lot of people when they're so in the moment and a lot of the emotions are arising. And obviously it's not just you, it's everyone else around you. Right? And we saw this during the pandemic. We saw it. Now, Jim, I'm sure you've seen it, right? Just people's a little bit more on edge. You know, we have different, like you said, different political beliefs about masks and everything else. And having that kind of energy constantly around you is tough. And we're not necessarily conditioned to do that. So a coach helps you really focus on what is your intention? What is your goal? So if you wake up this morning, Jim, and you're like, my intention today is to have a good day and to enjoy everything that is going to come my way. And that doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that somebody's going to upset me. It doesn't mean that, you know, God forbid, you have a little fender bender or something, you hit the mailbox when you're trying to get out of the driveway. But if your intention for the day is to go ahead and to have a good day, no matter what, it helps to absorb some of these things that come along the way. Right? It doesn't mean you won't get upset. It doesn't mean that you're not human and you shouldn't get upset. But maybe it helps you to kind of breathe through it and spend some time with acknowledging, hey, I have this reaction. I have this emotion. That's good. How is it serving me moving forward? You know, do I just now spend the rest of the day and throw away the rest of the day being miserable because I have, you know, a scratch on my fender now? Or am I going to,
well, the Wi-Fi's not working or.
Yeah. I was going to say, you didn't hit the mailbox, did you, on the way out?
Yeah,
so these things happen, right? And how do you react to that? And there's a lot of really great work and study out there about how we can manage our minds and control our minds to a certain degree, and how we think about things, really, and how it is really how we start to manage how we work through things. It's not only the action; it's where our mind is for it. Yeah, is that something that
we only have about? I think only maybe about a minute or two left. It's going by in the New York minute here.
Right on.
Do you we're just really scratching the surface. Hopefully we'll have you back and expand some more, maybe hear some success stories too. Do you also help an employee acquire a position they're seeking within the organization?
So if that's a goal of an employee, right, so looking at a position, an organization, I'll spend time with them to help them understand and think through what is their goal, right? How does that fit their long-term goals and their career trajectory, right? So I may not be familiar with the position itself that they're looking to seek, right? But I would just make sure that they are comfortable in understanding why is that interest them, right? Because it's really important for us to understand that we're running towards something or we're running away from something. If you're just trying to get away from a team or a supervisor that you don't get along with, well, there's no guarantee that in the future, well, you know, that person may not, you know, may be very similar traits and behaviors. So what are you running towards? I guess is something that I would coach someone to and help them really understand, you know, do what you know about this position. Does that align with what you're doing? So that would be the capacity, right, to help someone, yeah, work through a new role.
Is there a website somewhere can go if they want to learn more and connect?
Sure, I would invite you, please look me up on LinkedIn. It's the best way to stay connected with me. I don't have a personal website just yet, but please reach out to LinkedIn. I would love to have,
And it's Joe Carapella, that's Carapella. Joe, thanks for joining us on the show. This was fantastic. Kudos to you for the extraordinary work that you're doing, because I know it's work that is in your DNA and work that just want to do, but you have to do. Truly a pleasure. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, and hope we get a chance to explore some more on the programs. It'd be a pleasure.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Jim. Have a great
You're
day.
You're very welcome. You too. You keep up the great work. Jim Masters here, thanking you for your time. Next time, we'll be back with another incredible guest, so stick with us. Be back momentarily. Again, we thank our very special guest, Development and Integration Coach Joe Carapella. Again, you can find him on LinkedIn, good place to connect. For all of us here, once again, Jim Masters, have a terrific day. Thanks for being with us. We'll catch you on the next episode of Close Up Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.